Welcome back to Real Phonies, where we take a love for movies and television and we combine it with very little knowledge about movies and television. I'm your host, Christian. Joined with me, as always, are my co-host, Joseph.
Yellow.
And Jehu. We're here to discuss the... I didn't watch Creature Commandos, so the first to me...
Right.
It's the first James Gunn movie, since he's taken over.
Right. First entry into the DCU, Superman. It had another name at one point, but I don't remember what that was.
It was a good call to just revert back to Superman.
I think it was going to be Superman Forever.
Oh, yeah, definitely Superman is a better answer than that.
Yeah.
That's a better title. Directed by James Gunn, starring David Cornsweet as Superman, Nicholas Hoult as Lex Luthor, Rachel Brosnahan as Lois Lane, a fuck ton of other people. There's, you know, a bunch of other people, but those are the big three. They're the ones doing the press tour. It's a Superman movie. Superman fights Lex Luthor. There's, you know.
I think that's it. I think it's just Superman fights Lex Luthor, the movie.
That's all you need to know. What do we think of this movie, y'all?
I mean, I can't even be coy about this. I loved this. Like, saying it's better than Transformers is such a disservice. It's just better than almost anything. It's a good-looking movie. It's a well-acted movie. It's a movie with a thing to say. It's a movie with a few things to say. If you're someone who's thinking, I don't want to see this because I have superhero fatigue, it has things to say about that. It is loaded. It hits the ground running. I should say, you know, I really want to tell this story. I know that Joseph doesn't like for Ian to be mentioned on the podcast anymore.
It better be a good story to keep it in.
But I feel like this is such a Real Phonies thing. Like, this is almost our premise. When we met beforehand at Mellow Mushroom to hang out a bit before we went to see the movie. And most of the conversation there was us cutting promos on how many trailers are on movies. Just talking so much mad shit about that. And I'll forgive you two guys for not knowing this, but Ian should have known and I should have known from my years in projection that when there are these like corporate sponsored things like that thing was, there's no trailers on
them. Yep.
So we missed like the first 4 minutes of this movie because we were know-it-alls.
Yeah, but I will say to that point, this movie does a really cool thing, I think, where they released like those 4 minutes.
Right.
Like 2 months ago and never said it was the opening of the film.
And that's what I mean. It's just such a way to hit the ground running. Yeah. It hits the ground running with Superman hitting the ground after getting his ass kicked, which is, you know, one of the main complaints of Superman. Oh, he's not interesting because nothing can harm him. Well, this movie starts with, yes, we can.
Yes. Yeah. And 100%, I suspect that the thought crossed all of our minds as we walked into the theaters, like, was this like the 6 o'clock show?
Yes, I did think 6 o'clock. Yeah, and Ian was like, well, our seats, I was like, bro, there's 4 seats right here. Just sit down. Like, these people are watching this movie right now.
Right.
Just sit. We'll figure it out. You sit down.
Right. If somebody came in to challenge us, we would move. But nobody did.
Yeah, that was the most amazing part.
That was really the most amazing
part. Yeah, this movie's phenomenal. It's really, really great. There's tons of things to say that I'm sure we will, you know, like in spoilers and stuff. But the biggest thing that I walked away feeling like I walked out of the theater in an emotion that I don't know the last time I felt, but it reminded me a lot of walking out of Raimi's Spider-Man movie, which is that you're just like, oh, this changed the game. Like, like there was a thing before this and now there's this thing and you're like, this is what the model should be.
Right.
This is what we should be striving for. And I really don't know that we've had a movie like that, that is so unafraid to be a comic book movie. Like, it does not sacrifice itself for the audience. It is, oh, I'm making a comic book movie for the 21st century and it has to be kind of dark and gritty. It's like, no, this is what it is. Either you like it or you don't. We are not going to do you any favors. And, I personally really appreciated that.
It also says, hey, you've watched around 40 of these in the last 15 or so years. We don't have to explain to you what a superhero movie is. We don't have to explain to you how this works. You know it. Here we go.
And even before we started recording, we were just discussing, there's only been a handful of actual Superman movies in the last 20 years. I personally love that it does you no favor. You fucking know this guy's from Krypton. He's an alien. He crashes, lands. Right. He becomes Superman. You don't need to know all that other stuff. Like, right. you already know it. We don't need to show
you,
it.
You
to
know you. That before you know Long Division. You know what I mean?
100%.
Right.
Yeah, way better than Transformers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything more to say about it than you guys have already said. But I think the individual pieces are all great. Like, casting is great. Performances are great. You know, I love the characterizations of, you know, the main people, your Lex Luthor, your Superman and Clark Kent and Lois Lane. Like, everything, all the pieces are right and awesome and fantastic. Great choice to reuse the or essentially do a more dramatic riff, mm-hmm. which is crazy to say, on the John Williams
right.
theme for the music. But I think kind of what I think you were alluding to, one of the things that hit me those is that this movie in so many ways just felt like a release in a way that you know, I think we've all been waiting for our whole lives. in the sense that and you know, to me, I would say, like, this is a movie that's just for the four of us, the four of us,
yeah.
the official and unofficial phonies. But, you know, I think James Gunn is positing that that's not true. This is actually the Superman that people want and that people need. And it's just, it was honestly so surprising, even though we talked about it a lot before this one came out, about, like, what his influences were and, like, you know, all the things he said about this movie coming into it, about what kind of movie it was going to be, because I just didn't think they were going to make a movie like this. Right. I didn't think we could do a fucking optimistic mm-hmm. Superman movie right. where he's, like, you know, earnest and wants to help people and believes in people and,
right.
like, is just fucking Superman. And is the Superman that I think, you know, we have always wanted to see on screen, and obviously James Gunn has also always wanted to see on screen. So there's just something about having that realized that's just, like, I can't describe how satisfying
you can, like, breathe. Like,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
like a weird, it's like, for some reason my butthole has been puckered
yeah.
for my entire life because I haven't had Superman be Superman
yeah.
in, like, such an accessible way to the mainstream audience. And, like, you finally do, and you're like, oh, wow, that's nice.
Yeah.
Like, I always thought it would be nice, but, man, it was nice.
It's go ahead.
Me and Joseph talked about, and we'll get to the actual scene in the movie when we get into spoilers, but we both talked about that we agreed that there was, like, even after the movie had started, it's like, man, this is good, but they're going to fuck it up.
Yeah.
yeah.
This is good. And there's one scene that they're like, okay, I can relax. They got this.
yeah, yeah, yeah. The only other thing I was going to say that kind of on the same note is, I know you were saying, like, how kind of brave it is to, mm-hmm. to just come out here and, like, have, like, no grit, no mm-hmm. no overly serious overtones and just, like, pessimism, whatever, in it. This movie reminded me of a quote from the Russo brothers when they were riding high on the Avengers train, which was, you know, if you ask people what they like, they'll say ice cream. But people don't like ice cream all the time.
Right,
so,
right.
so in some ways, you have to give those people something that they will like, even though they don't know that they're going to like. You know, you right. can't just give them the thing that they mm-hmm. think they want all the time. And I think that's 100% what this is.
Yeah.
It's like, I know what the trends are. I know what the algorithms say is going to make money. But let me give you this, and I think you're going to like it. And right. I did.
Yeah. And I hope. God, I just want it to be successful.
Yeah, 100%.
So bad. And we saw it in a packed out theater
right.
on a Tuesday night. When you look at, like, you know, the showings for this weekend, it looks like it's going to sell well. Projection, and, like, I don't. It's been a long time where I'm like, please, dear God,
yeah.
everyone go to the movies and watch this.
My faith in humanity might be a little
might be hinging on this.
I was, before I started seeing some positive reviews coming in and the Rotten Tomatoes mm-hmm. score was good, my initial thought was, dumb people think they're too smart for optimism for mm-hmm. this movie mm-hmm. to be successful. And I'm still not sure that won't happen, but I want to be wrong about that.
I mean, here's the thing. I think the loudest corners of the internet that have been driving a lot of these decisions mm-hmm. might feel that way,
right.
but I think your four quadrants are going to be fucking into it. First, okay. That's my prediction okay. anyway.
I am hoping you're right. I need you to be right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think, yeah, just we as a people, like, in people always, everything's got to be fucking political nowadays. Like, it's not political, in my opinion, to say, we just need something hopeful and
yeah,
nice right. and sure. optimistic. Like, regardless of your political persuasion, you need a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
And this is, like, 2 hours and 10 minutes at the movies, And you're going to walk out. You're going to have a smile on your face. You're going to feel good for the next couple of days.
I didn't even know if I was going to bring this up, but since you said politics, I will say that. MAGA nitwit Dean Cain, who played Superman for five fucking years, came out today and said, I don't know if they should have called Superman an immigrant in this. Like, guys, first of all, I don't even like to use this baby talk word. Like, I don't like to say woke. You know, first of all, because the kids don't even fucking say it anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Talking about a woke agenda is like talking about the cowabunga dude agenda. Like, it's not a thing anybody says anymore. But Superman hasn't gone woke. He's been an immigrant since day one.
Literally the beginning.
Just if you just realize that because this movie said it out loud, then I don't know what to say for you, man. Especially I'm not going to call you dumb, but you're definitely not paying attention.
Really insane for a guy who played Superman for four years.
Right.
Yeah. So, spoilers?
Spoilers.
Yeah, better than Transformers.
Better, absolutely better than Transformers.
You can stop listening, go watch the movie, listen later. Like,
yes.
It's fucking, it's just so good. Go to the movies. One thing I really wanted, before we, like, got into anything super specific, what I really want to talk about, that, Jehu, you kind of referenced a little bit, is this is a great-looking movie.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, the production design, everything, one, it's very bright, and I think that's saying something all in itself. But two, one thing that I think it really balances really well is that there is a little bit of like retro kind of like 1930s, 40s, early action-y comics vibe to it. But there's also like a lot of current futurism. There's retro futurism in there. I turn to Joseph like every time I see these fucking robots. Like, I get excited.
It's not like what we've seen from the Fantastic Four movie where it's like, obviously, like, you know, Tomorrowland inspired.
Yeah, right. 100%.
Everything mostly looks like it does here, but 100%, there is, like, a vibe of like, the retro the retro technology. Well,
I thought to myself, how did they balance all of those things, right? And then I was like, fucking Superman the Animated Series.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
This is very much a live-action Superman the Animated Series.
Well, and also, you know, you pointed out that one of the things James Gunn did was everybody on staff had to read All-Star Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of that in All-Star Superman, too. It's very Silver Age, you know, 60s inspired, but, like, but let's treat this with today's seriousness. Like, it's not doing it as like a nostalgia riff. It's doing it like, what would this be like if we did this right now? And I thought that was great.
Yeah, even like, going back to Super, I always think about Lois Lane's always wearing a pencil skirt and a blouse in that show, right? Like all the time. And in this, like, Jimmy Olsen is very clearly wearing like a 1960s bomber jacket.
Yeah, 100%.
Throughout the whole movie. Yeah. But yet it still fits when he's riding on Mr. Terrific's spaceship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
it's such a hard balance.
I would have never put that together, but that's a great point.
Yeah.
Speaking of Lois Lane, Rachel Brosnan is Lois Lane, right?
Fucking phenomenal performance.
I'm going to say,
you hated it.
I was not a fan of that. Yeah. I was afraid to tell Sarah about it because she has, like, you know, Sarah hates all women, but she has a particular beef with this woman. But I think she's going to like her. Like, I know I really liked her.
Yeah. That has to be the definitive Lois Lane performance.
Yeah.
Like, thinking about it in my car after, I'm like, golly, that's fucking Lois Lane. Like, it's so good.
And man, this is something I'm stealing from something I saw on the internet, but casting from chemistry is the way to go.
Oh, sure.
These looked like people who wanted to bone down. You know, I saw a side-by-side picture of the two of them with, why can't I think of anybody's name? Henry Cavill and...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Amy Adams?
Amy Adams. And one of them looked like people, like, these people are about to make out. And the other one looked like he's taking her into custody. Yeah. Like, you know?
I did watch a scene of the two of them, Amy Adams and Henry Cavill, today or yesterday or something. And it's just striking the lack of chemistry that those two people
and
have.
And those are both actors I really like.
Yeah.
Just didn't have a spark.
Well, it's talking about spark, the third person in that triangle is Nicholas Holt.
Right.
Unreal as Lex. I mean, what a performance.
It's
good. Who of us hated him?
Ian hates him.
Yeah, I'm on and off.
I think you hated him at one point, didn't you?
I watched The Great.
I've been on board since The Great. He's so good in The Great.
I know I didn't love him, but I'm super on board.
Yeah.
Now.
I mean, and I, again, I don't want to detract from his performance because I think he is like really good at it. I think he gets the part, but it's also like the best characterization of Lex that we've ever seen.
Right.
And I love, like, even from the first scene that we're getting, I think about in the DC universe, you know, Batman is like the police and the detective, and Superman is the firefighter, right?
Right.
You know, he's reactive, he puts out fires, whatever. And so I like that the opening scene of this is Superman putting out the fire of this random guy that's trying to destroy the fucking city. And you see from Lex's point of view that this is just like one piece in his puzzle. You know what I mean? Like this is a trial. It doesn't matter if it's successful or fails. It's information, and it goes into whatever part of my master plan is coming next. And you know, just playing Lex as the chess player, and even more so with him like literally calling out numbers and letters and numbers for the next moves.
It's immediately I'm watching it and I'm like, does he have some sort of chess grid in front of him? Because I'm thinking, like, knight to e5.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the way he's calling it out. What's really, I think, works, too, about this movie, you said something about dumb people thinking they're smarter than them.
Yeah.
I think that's very apparent. Like, it's a comic book film. It's about a guy who has basically no weakness whatsoever. We don't have to make it obtuse.
Right.
It's four small acts, and three of those acts are just... at least the first two, is Lex just setting traps for Superman. And it doesn't even, you don't even have to catch him. The first one is, I need to find the Fortress of Solitude. Mm-hmm. I need him distracted. The second one is, I need him distracted. I need to kidnap Krypton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then he puts him in prison. And then at the end, it's like Lex's envy and rage and all those things overcome the logic because Superman just keeps winning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But like, that is a great formula to tell a Superman story.
Yeah.
Because it highlights both of their strengths. Mm-hmm. Exactly what you're talking about. Lex doesn't need to win the fight because his other goal is over here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's a genius way to
do this. I mean, not that we ever do anything chronologically, but I think about the end of this movie where, you know, there's Superman makes an honest appeal to Lex, like explaining, you know, why I don't think I'm better than you. And I'm as human as anybody, and literally, you know, like legitimately making an appeal to be like, and you could be this way too. And then on the flip side, you know, Lex has spent this entire movie comparing himself as what he considers to be the world's greatest man against, you know, this average Kryptonian monster that's come onto the planet. And, like, that's been the comparison he's been drawing on his head. And then you find out that he's not even stronger than the world's or Krypton's worst dog.
Yeah.
And it's fucking great. Yeah. It's such a great comeuppance.
I do like the exact power level that they give Superman.
Yeah.
Because he can, you know, they make a point of saying things. He can only hold his breath for an hour. So this isn't Superman who can just fly through space. He can get knocked down. He almost reminded me.
He gets knocked down a lot.
He gets knocked down so much and gets butt back up. But it reminds me a lot of the Superman animated power level. It's about that same power level.
It does remind, you know, in Superman's, of course, only ever gotten more powerful.
Right.
Like, that's, you know, he originally couldn't fly. He could just jump over buildings, and then they didn't want to animate that. It was easier to just make him fly.
Speaking of, flying effects look great in this.
Incredible.
100%.
Super good. It does feel like we've kind of returned back. This is like returned back into a simpler concept of Superman.
Right.
Yes, he is pretty much impervious, but he can take, he's going to get hit, but he's always going to get back up.
Right.
You know, and people on the internet, what I really loved is the way they marketed this movie was they showed you things and allowed you to make assumptions based on what you saw that just were completely wrong.
Right.
Like, there was a trailer where you see him use laser vision and then you also see him with his eyes, like...
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people in the internet were like, why does it fucking mess up his eyes when he uses laser vision? And of course, that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Else happens. But, like... the same thing with the opening of the film. You would never know this. It just allowed you to assume a lot so that when you came into the movie, it all still felt new, even if you'd seen it before.
Well, also, the trailers lead you to believe he's fighting this big faction of other superheroes. And in fact, there's two different factions and a rando unassigned. So, you know, that's also something they sort of misdirected you on.
Mm-hmm. What did we think of the Justice Gang?
I love it because James Gunn can't fucking help but put a team of superhero misfits together.
Right.
And so he just made it the Justice Gang of like the most random ass fucking B and C list DC superheroes. And it's I worked for me. That was one of the things I was going to say to kind of, I don't know, it was something we already talked about, but it's also a great movie at just like being the movie and not like, you don't have to explain every fucking thing that happens in it. You don't have to explain where this Fortress of Solitude came from, why there are fucking robots there, how the Justice Gang got formed, why it's those specific people. Where's Hal Jordan? Who gives a shit? It's exactly what it is, and it serves exactly, like, you get what it is. You don't need background.
Right, you don't need, like, what's the precipitating event of why there's so many superheroes?
Exactly. Yeah.
We've just watched the Marvel Universe build that. We can just assume something similar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I loved the Justice Gang. I was in the bag for this. This is very much based on a comic called Justice League International. I can tell James Gunn 100% is chomping at the bit to make that movie. That's where specifically that Guy Gardner characterization comes from.
Mm.
And basically what it was is a couple of writers decided they were tired of, if you have Hal Jordan in your book, every move you make, you've got to run by the Green Lantern off.
Mm.
If you have Guy Gardner in the world, they don't really give a fuck about Guy Gardner. You can completely change his personality, which they did, and they made it into the guy, this guy that's in the movie.
Yeah. I think Nathan Fillion is incredible as Guy Gardner.
He's so good as Guy Gardner.
And I mean, I usually hate when you get cute with stuff. Like, you know, for 20 years, people have been saying Nathan Fillion is Hal Jordan. He should be Hal Jordan. And James Gunn to say, okay, he's Green Lantern, but he's a different Green Lantern. Feels a little cute. 100% correct.
We've just been wrong about him. Right. It's a better use of his talents.
Yeah, 100%. This is a better casting than is Hal Jordan. But to me, Mr. Terrific steals it.
Very good.
God, what a great characterization and a great performance. He delivers like the deadpan seriousness perfectly. I think if anyone walked away from this being like, should be featured in more stuff.
I feel like that guy's been on the verge for a while because he's in First Class as a very memorable character.
15 years ago.
And then he gets good point. gets fucking killed off unceremoniously and then never comes back to get
being the one guy who should not be killed.
100%. The one guy who's impossible to kill.
Yeah.
Also, I kind of think he sort of makes a good Batman for this Superman.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, he's not the world's smartest asshole.
That's good.
He's the smartest guy.
That is good.
Yeah.
He definitely, Mr. Terrific in this is a Batman.
And I love the way they play that in the idea that, because we were talking beforehand, like, who's supposed to be, like, canonically smarter, Lex Luthor or Mr. Terrific in like, the comic books? And I like the idea that, like, they're, like, comparable levels of intelligence, but Lex is just, like, entirely reckless. Like, he doesn't give a shit about the consequences or who it could possibly hurt or how it could damage, as long as it does what he wants it to do.
If you've got two people in a fist fight who are of equal skill, the one that's not afraid to spend the night in jail is going to win.
Exactly. Yeah.
What did we think about the Superman clone, the Ultraman?
I mean, how early did we know it was a Superman clone?
I mean, almost immediately. Yeah. I was only confused as to how it was going to play out. Was it going to be an alternate universe Superman? Was it going to be Bizarro when we saw it?
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to try and interrupt. Mm-hmm. As soon as we got to I thought it was a clone. Mm. As soon as we got to, like, the pocket dimension, I was like, oh, it's probably Bizarro.
Yeah, it's definitely Bizarro.
I was like, he figured out a way to travel between dimensions, and he just recruited Bizarro. I was a little bummed when it wasn't that.
I did not have on, as the kids say, my bingo card, that he was going to be Superman who looked like Revenge of the Sith Anakin. I kept waiting for Superman to say, it's over, clone. I have the higher ground. Yeah.
You know what's funny is David Cornsweat's like a huge fucking Star Wars
fan. All right.
Yeah. My most liked thing on TikTok is I commented on a video of his once because he does a fucking, he can quote the last like 10 minutes of A New Hope.
Yeah.
Perfectly. And his Harrison Ford is so goddamn good. Like, it's really good. He's a big Star Wars fan. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's like, can I look like Anakin?
Right.
I want to say I do think that still is Bizarro and can be Bizarro in the future.
He goes through the black hole. I was like, oh, that's our Bizarro origin.
Right, exactly. He's going to go make Bizarro world and then come back.
Yeah, I thought that too.
So, yeah, we're all over the place, but trying to get back sort of online. you know, Superman, we find out that this, you know, we visit the Daily Planet. We find out very soon after that this Superman has already revealed his identity to Lois and mm-hmm. is dating her, which I think is a good move. I think, although I am someone who believes in the glasses, I also think don't get too mired in the muck of the glasses.
You know, what's true about the glasses, too, is I wouldn't say it's a complaint. I would have liked to see more Clark Kent in this movie.
Yes. I would have too.
He's Superman for 98 years.
I agree and disagree, because my rebuttal is that the Superman we see is not his public-facing Superman a lot of time. It's like his little private Superman, which is just Clark Kent again.
Yeah.
It's Clark Kent in the suit. I would have liked to have seen more of his, like,
public
performative Superman to see what that looks like.
Also, because I think David Cornsweet's really good. Right.
I mean, look, it goes off the rails quickly. Yeah. But at the beginning of his interview with Lois, I love the, you know, Miss Lane. Yeah. It's so fucking
changes
good.
His voice, changes incredible. His posture. Awesome.
Well, when he does the, even when he's in the Daily Planet, like, he's got the messy hair and the glass eye, and you're almost like,
it
kind of looks like a different guy.
Yeah, it does kind of look like a different guy.
I mean, I've told you guys that I've proved Clark Kent Superman can work, right?
Was it Zooey Deschanel?
No, this is me.
Oh.
Me as a person. When I first started living the life, eyeglasses technology was not what it is today. Neither was contact technology. So I had these contacts that I could basically only wear for about 8 hours without being in agony. So if I was doing something before or after my shift at the theater, I would wear my glasses at the theater. And these glasses at this time were so thick. They were just, I mean, you're looking at me right now. I got some pretty fucking thick glasses on right now. These are nothing to this. And they would literally, they'd change my posture. They'd make me greasier and sweatier. And this was helped also by there was this kid named Brandon Moreau who worked there who looked a lot like me. So much like Superman sometimes does with robots or Martian Manhunter, I could be standing right by myself. So people literally thought I was two different dudes. And even a woman who I ended up dating at one point thought I was two different dudes and didn't fucking like the guy in the glasses. Thought he was a creep. So I'm a big believer in the glasses.
Yeah. I mean, I think it works. But I would have liked to see more of it, because I do think he pulls it off. It reminds me of in the original Superman film when Clark reveals himself to Lois and he, like, stands up straight. I mean, gains, like, fucking 4 inches.
Yeah.
Because he's so slumped over, changes his posture.
I would watch a miniseries of just, like, short little vignettes, maybe, like, 5 to 8 of them. Of Lois trying to prove that this Clark was Superman.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that would be fun.
The bit, too, not to, you know, again, we're jumping around a little bit here, but the when they're in the Hall of Justice and guys, like, you know about the hypno glasses, that whole bit is great.
Yeah, that is, totally.
By the way, this movie's funny.
This movie is funny, which you expect that from James Gunn. And some people almost, like, that's a detriment for them with him. But I don't, you know, again, I don't think it's like Josh Whedon where the humor is just so fucking cute.
Well, the jokes hit.
Right, the jokes hit. They're not all just self-referential. They're not just like, you know, there's a vampire, but there's also vampires in movies. Like, it's not shit like that, you know? So then we start to get into what the plot of the movie is, which is Superman's interfered in another country to save lives, and that's part of a plot Lex has against him, and it's, you know, what he uses to turn the government against him, or the first part of what he uses to turn the government against him. And we were talking about this after the movie. That's essentially the same plot as Batman versus Superman, just not shitty.
Yep.
Yeah.
And makes sense the first time you watched it. You don't have to watch the extended version to understand that that's what the plot of this movie is.
Well, and that's such a great, again, reminds me back of the marketing thing of, like, it presents something and then it kind of flips that thing on its head. Because when you get to the end and Lex says the bit about, like, I did that to get to you. I was like, God, that's good.
Right.
Like, I didn't do this to make the government or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like, I did it to go after you.
It is 100% such a great characterization that it's like, you know, I'm presenting it as pragmatism. I'm presenting it as xenophobia.
Yep.
I'm presenting it as all these things that are when it really is just you made me feel small.
Yeah, 100%.
I should be the star, but you are.
Yeah.
Again, going back to this, I think it's the Justice League, but Superman the Animated Series and its extended universe. Right. It's one of my favorite episodes of that show is Lex builds a city yes. for the poor to like, and it's free everything, free food, electricity, water, whatever. And you know, anybody can come in and it's just like this huge humanitarian project. And he builds it just so Superman will fucking destroy it based on his suspicions.
Right.
So yeah. it looks bad for Superman. Right. Yeah. It's yeah. incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy watched a lot of
the
DC animated stuff.
Yeah.
Which, good. It's good shit.
So then we get to the other point of Lex's campaign against him, which I think is the best point, which is he reveals something that Superman doesn't know, that his parents sent Superman to Earth to take over.
Well, how do you feel about that?
I thought it was great. I also think it's a little nod to his brother's shitty movie.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the movie about the super kid who comes to Earth?
Brightburn.
Yeah, Brightburn. But, you know, I think by the time we get to that point in the movie, he'd earned it. He'd earned to take a wild change. And it's always something if they want to use Krypton at a later date that they can find a way to retcon. So I think for the purposes of this story, it was great.
I mean, I know Jor-El has historically been on the more high-minded of
right.
Krypton. But as far as I understand, Krypton has a pretty wide scale of like moral values in yeah. the comics history. So
100%. 100%.
Yeah, I agree. I think he earned it. I think also that it's an easy fix. Like
right.
it's you can just be like, oh yeah, Lex lied. You can say that. Like that's
or
fine.
Or you can say there's a third part of this video where you can go here and take over, but you can also not.
Yeah, there's lots of outs there. Yeah. But I also think, of course, it's a direct referendum on all the evil Superman shit we
mm-hmm.
had.
100%.
You know,
yes.
Homelander, Invincible, all of these, even Brightburn.
Yeah.
Like, it's 100% like he's referencing the only Superman stories we've been telling
right.
for fucking 10 years.
So right. you bring me to a good point. In the sense that I think so many of the plot points in this movie are like direct rebuttals to some other stories that we've been telling about Superman knockoffs or just superheroes period
right.
in general. We talked about it at the very beginning, but for people who aren't like super, super in the know. So James Gunn wrote and directed this movie, but he's also the co-studio head of DC now. And he is like directing the whole,
Kevin Feige.
Yeah, the Kevin Feige. So, I mean, he's in charge of the whole slew of whatever comes out of DC films and media for a good while, you know, until they fire him. And it's definitely, to me, very, you know, intentional on his part that Superman is the first movie out of the gate for
right.
this. There is a moment in this movie that I think is the thesis statement for this movie and potentially for the universe that he's building, where it's Lois and Clark like sitting down chatting, and Lois is like, you know, that's the difference between you and me is I you know, I'm gonna fucking ruin this quote because
right.
I've only seen it one time and I can't find a clip online.
Right.
But, you know, I question people, I question everything, but you know, you want to believe in people, you just see people and believe that they're beautiful.
Right.
And Clark says, maybe that's the real punk rock.
Right.
And I really genuinely think that is the fucking heart of this movie,
yeah.
and I think it is the selling point of what he's like, this is what we're going to be doing from now on.
Right.
And I love that. That's exactly what I want.
Yeah.
Because it is. Like,
right.
to your point, like, you know, again, the loudest voices on the internet are telling us this is childish bullshit. And I think it is the punk rock take to be like, actually, you know what? This is kind of fucking cool.
Right.
Let's be nice to each other.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a certain sect of people that, for whatever reason, they believe that Superman needs to be an asshole.
Yeah.
And I think it says more about you than it does Superman.
Well, it's such a great, not just like, I guess, rebuttal or whatever, but it's such a great of like, this is what makes him special.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you've seen Homelander for the last 8 years
right.
on this fucking TV show. But he is not Superman.
Yeah.
Like, as much as you want to compare the two because their powers look similar, yada, 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 he's not the same. And this is why Superman chooses better. And
right.
I just got, like, we need that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, in this, really, it's almost like he's fighting the boys.
Yes.
Like, he's fighting that kind of snarky cynicism, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, I mean, I know you know this, but like there are Superman stories, and you know the what happened to Truth, Justice, and the American Way that is kind of directly that message.
Right, you know, like, what I like, thought this movie
like,
was
right
be.
On the nose. Yeah. And I love that we didn't go that direction. Right. I love that we didn't like feel the need to hit it head on.
Right.
It's like, we're going to hit it in the small points that matter, and you'll get it. You'll get that that's what the point is, instead of like having to do a whole thesis on, like, actually, maybe it's okay that we don't have Supermen that kill everybody
all
the time.
Right. Maybe it's nice to believe that if you did have ultimate power, you would chill the fuck out
and help
people. Like, if you weren't thirsty, like, you'd help somebody else get a drink.
Yeah.
So that scene, it takes place in the best scene, right?
Yes, it
takes
place. It does.
The scene I was talking about earlier where I was just able to relax. Superman, after the world turns on him because they find out he's been sent to Earth to take over, he just goes to Lois's place and he sits down in front of a window dejected. And there's this big superhero fight against a monster outside of a window that takes place the entire time. Him and Lois are having this conversation about the bad time he's having, and it's just fucking perfect.
It's really good. Like, it is I think again, it's a scene, like the it's a serious conversation between the two of them, and I think the beats in that hit well. Like, I don't think it like the jokes outside of the room diminish like the conversation and like the inter-character dynamic. But yeah, then there are just bits in the middle where you laugh because there's some funny shit happening in the background.
And it also, I think when I said earlier, this has sort of commentary on superhero fatigue.
Yeah.
Like, nobody seems to care that these superhero fights are going on. Like, nobody gives a shit. They just stand there and watch them.
It's another subtle world-building thing that I love about this movie. In that it's one of the big dilemmas of Superman that people who think that he's overpowered don't quite grasp, is that, like, if you're Superman, how do you decide what things to do?
Yeah.
When you can do everything, when you can be anywhere and save anyone at any time, how do you decide which people... And which people say where and when, and also like how the fuck does that ruin your brain, you know? And I love that, like, we've included this Fortress of Solitude, and we've just seen him being like, I'm fucking tired. Mm. I need to sit down.
Yeah,
like, that's great. I love that shit.
That scene is the best scene of the movie.
Yeah,
and it's great for all the reasons you guys said. What I love about it, a couple of things just to add on, is that I do think that it is a great bit of both the real world and the world that these people are in, which is like, that stuff's gonna go on and it's gonna happen, but that doesn't mean you can't also do this thing.
Right.
And the way to make, again, going back to the Raimi Spider-Man, the way you make these movies continue going in the future is you have to learn to combine the two. You can't just be one or the other.
Right.
And that scene is like, we can do both.
Right.
It can be goofy, over the top superhero-ness while also being a quiet, intimate moment between these two characters. But the other thing that I think is great is that scene is the first picture we saw of Superman.
That's true.
And you see him, like, you think he's putting on his boots and he's about to go fight. And he's like worn and dejected and all this stuff, and he's gonna go do this thing. Turns out it's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And again, great.
Right.
What a great way for us to introduce that character to us and let us develop our own opinions of things. And then you still show me the exact same picture, and now I have a completely different interpretation of that moment. It's really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah. That also, I think that's the earlier scenes were good, but that's also the scene where we really land the Lois and Clark romance.
Yeah.
Too. It's very much like, because superhero romance is so often in movies just like, oh, you just cram this in here because you think it has to be in here. But this movie doesn't work without it.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't work without the whole supporting cast. This movie does not work without Jimmy Olsen. Jimmy Olsen is fucking cool in this, and he kind of solves the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a very important cog to it. I don't know the actor's name who plays him, but he's the son on Righteous Gemstones.
Mm.
He plays kind of the same part, a guy who's kind of oblivious to how much everybody likes him. You know, I thought that kid was great.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. I did know it. I'll tell you one of my favorite things about this movie. I fucking love that Ma and Pa Kent are just fucking
regular-ass people.
Yeah, they're not some, like...
They're not aging movie stars.
Right, they're not some archetype of, like, salt of the earth, you know, like, but really have all the wisdom that all the rest of us
right.
have. They're just people who watch TV and do their jobs and stuff. And I think that's... that's actually who I feel like should raise Superman. Mm-hmm. That's who teaches him the values of, you know, if you're raised by common people, why wouldn't you want to help common people?
Yeah, I didn't. Yes, the Pa Kent scene is the worst scene in Man of Steel. 100%.
Right.
Absolutely. Right. Jonathan Kent dying in Man of Steel is the worst scene in that movie. But I didn't hate Kevin Costner.
Right. No, I didn't either.
In that role. And I think they have a good relationship. But, like, I had never thought about it this way.
Yes.
And now that I have, I do hate it. Now that I have seen what it can be, I'm like, fuck, that is so much better than your dad being Robin Hood or the dude from Dukes of Hazzard. Again, I like Smallville, but it's a very similar like approach.
Right. Right.
And I just think this is just so much better.
Yeah. Now look, I have seen Constantine too many times for Pa Kent not to just be
the guy who drinks all the water.
The frightening supernatural priest, but you know, I still enjoyed it.
You know, it's funny.
Always thirsty.
In my quest to just rewatch the shows I like over and over, I'm in the middle of a Deadpool rewatch, and I literally just watched the episode where that actor kills his brother so he can sell his gold mine, and then ends up getting killed himself because of his guilt of it.
You're talking about Justified?
No, I'm talking about Deadwood.
Deadwood.
I thought you said
Deadpool. He 100% dead.
Oh, I admit Deadwood.
He's also in Justified.
He's also. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's on House. He's one of those guys that once you start noticing him,
he's everywhere.
I always appreciate when he doesn't have to play a weirdo because he has a weird eye.
Yeah,
maybe I have a dog in that race.
So I always wonder. I can't tell if he just does that, like that's natural, or that's like a thing that he chooses to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it may just be something he can do. Yeah. When he does in situations.
Speaking of dog, fucking Crypto rocks.
Sure.
How have we not got to Crypto before this? Steals the show.
Yeah. I've long said that I feel like Batman movies without Robin, I'm done with it. I need Robin and things. I didn't know I needed Crypto in a Superman movie. I don't want another one without him. He fucking needs to be there.
What Superman says, he's not even a particularly good dog.
Yeah. It's a great bit. Yeah. It's more of a Foster situation. Yeah. Having said that, the cameo for Supergirl is unnecessary in this movie.
But I like that it does contextualize Crypto a little bit more.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I think that was? I think that was weaning us off the end credit scene. Because the real end credit scene in this was that. That's the one that sets up for the next thing. The end credit scenes we get in this are basically nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, Jones, have you read that comic it's based on, Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow?
I have not. That's Tom King, right?
Tom King. It's pretty good, but basically what it is it's True Grit.
Mm.
And you're like, oh, shit, that means Supergirl's playing Haley Steinfeld? No, she's playing Jeff Bridges. She's Rooster.
Yeah.
It's going to be a pretty fun movie.
Yeah. I think that movie I have high hopes for. I think Millie Alcock does look the part. She looks great as Supergirl. Right. And, I mean, I wasn't upset for her inclusion in this movie. It just doesn't add anything to it. But it does. The explanation for Crypto is great.
Yeah.
And I do think it's a better approach. Like, I appreciated that the end credits weren't set up for the next thing. Of course, you get the setup in there.
Right.
I think that's the next movie. I think it comes out next year. I think it's already, like, in the can.
Look, we shat on Joss Whedon a lot over the last decade, but, you know, the shawarma scene is correct. That's what the end credit scene should be.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. If you stay till the end of it, it's a nice little treat.
Yes.
You don't have
to. It's not required watching.
You don't have to lose 15 minutes of your life to credits.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, jumping around, Superman turns himself into the law, turns out to be a terrible idea. He gets taken to a pocket dimension where he's imprisoned by Metamorpho, who's making kryptonite against his will.
Which was the most predictable plot point.
Right. Crypto is also in prison, which is horrible, but also really funny.
Yeah, chasing Krypton squirrels or something like that?
Yeah, they have him chasing Krypton squirrels. And just to infinity. That's hilarious. Which sits up with also one of my favorite things, you know, Chekhov's Kryptos. If you imprison Crypto, then you have to break Crypto free, and then Crypto has to tear ass. And that is lots of fun.
Well, with that whole bit is really great. I mean, there's some like really dramatic moments there. The Lex shooting a guy is like, really goes to show you how much of a shitbag this guy is. All that's, you know, one thing. But what it does is it allows you to tell in a Superman movie why the world needs Superman.
Right.
They're missing him.
Right.
And shit's going bad fast.
Right. Even though there's all these other people who can do all these amazing things, he's the guy that has the mindset to do it.
Yeah. Of course, you know, you get a great, breaks out, you get to Ma and Pa Kent scene, which I love. And then, of course, you know, at the end, Superman wins. And you get a really great banter between him and Mr. Terrific, the, like, you know, I'm doing important stuff. Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. It's a great line.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just think...
And that's what that's exactly what I mean. And that, like, I think that's a funny Clark Kent line.
Right.
But yeah. I still wish there was a little bit more Superman in this movie.
Quintus is really charming. That
He's
line
really
is
really good.
Someone else could have delivered that exact same line, and my old eyes could have rolled out of the back of my head. But he nails it.
I think I don't know other way to say it, but he is the right choice.
Sure.
You know, and we didn't even know he was the right. Like, you didn't even know of him.
Look, guys, I have a history of over-evaluating things right after I saw them. I once said that The Crow was better than Star Wars. I don't really think that anymore. But this guy might be my favorite Superman. I mean, Chris Reeves, that's such a part of me coming online as a child. But, man, this guy's just the best. He's the Superman I've always wanted. I said that after we left this movie. This is the Superman movie I always wanted.
Yeah. And again, I don't want to detract from the performance because I think that he absolutely delivers it. But I mean, I think a big part of that is just, it's the best characterization of Superman.
Right.
It's the best characterization of all of these characters that we've seen ever.
Right.
No, 100%. It's definitely not just him.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. Again, the big three to me, like, and I'm not taking away from all the side characters. They're all great. They all serve importance. But those three work so well together, and they're such great versions of their characters. And James Gunn just has the right perfect vision. But with him specifically, like, watch the interviews. Like, watch the media, and you're like, oh, this guy gets it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, he is saying all the things, like we talk about with James Gunn.
Yeah.
James Gunn said all the things leading up to it that you wanted to hear the director of Superman say, but you're like, I still don't think you're going to do it. But David Corn said saying all these things, and you're like, good God, man. Like, he gets it. Like, for example, they're making Superman. While they're making the movie, they announced the Clayface movie, and they announced the Lantern Show.
Right.
And both of those things are in production now.
Right.
And he made, like, he gave gifts to the cast of those shows. And you're like, this motherfucker is Superman.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have to be the quarterback of the DCU. But Superman is.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's living up to it.
Right.
I don't know, man. He's so good.
On a casting note, everybody in Hollywood should fire their agent and get whoever Isabella Merced's agent
is. Yeah, God, she's working.
She's working, and it's just hits so far. You know what I mean? It's just like big.
Well, Madam Webb's in there.
That's a good point. But, like, you know, things that are in big things in front of a lot of eyes.
Yeah.
You know, just having a good few years.
I mean, certainly, like, she's been in three things that I genuinely.
Yeah.
I didn't love Last of Us Season 2. She's by far the best part of it. But yeah, the last 2 years, she's been in a bunch of shit that I genuinely really, really liked. She's doing good for herself.
Yeah.
From Dora the Explorer to here.
I know, right?
Do we have any other Superman thoughts, guys?
You know, I really like the part where he saved the squirrel.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we mentioned the big kaiju fight at all. There's a big kaiju fight. And I really think that might be, me and Ian talked about this after this, that might be the dividing point with us and the other half of America. There's going to be people that believe that Superman would save the squirrel, and there's going to be people who think that's stupid. And if you think that's stupid, me and you probably shouldn't have dinner.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I had this conversation with a guy at work today. Because fucking, I don't even know how. They did one showing on Tuesday night. But a lot of the movies fucking leaked online today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he saw the clip of the kaiju fight. And he thought, like, he's like, it's just so jokey. And I'm like, man, you gotta watch it. I was like, you're watching one scene. You haven't seen it in context. I was like, Superman's, like, legitimately very upset.
Right.
In this scene. And he's like, he doesn't seem that way at all. I was like, because you're not watching the whole fucking thing.
You're watching it in 16 pixels. Yeah.
And it also typifies that even though he's the most powerful one, the fight's still harder for him because he won't kill. He's trying to find a solution that isn't just punching this thing to death.
I was like, these guys are able to kill it quickly because they just want to kill it.
Right.
And Superman doesn't want to do that, number one, make the fight harder right. for himself. But number two, he's not happy with them.
Right.
With their solution. I was like, yes, again, to the point you're making, that scene alone is a characterization of Superman that I want to see.
Yes.
If that's not what you want to see, then we're probably different.
Also, barring the fucking Batman, what superhero movie isn't jokey?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of complaint is that? They're all jokey.
Yeah. This is a very comic booky movie.
I also, you know, kind of after watching this, I kind of do wish the Batman was in this universe. I would love to see that dour, charmless, humorless Batman interact with this Superman.
I think not going to happen, of course.
Right.
I have thought the same thing, too, that at this point now, fuck it.
Right.
Just let him be Batman.
They're roughly the same age.
Yeah. There's like, you know, people have fucking photoshopped it with the two of them standing together. And I'm like, oh, it looks pretty good standing side by side. I do think that's got to be the next one, right? Like, Batman's got to be the next thing you really take a chance at.
Right. Right.
If you're going to really get this off the ground.
I hope we do Batman like we did Superman, where the world is fully realized. He's had the sidekicks. We don't need the origin of any videos. They're all in Arkham Asylum right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, videos, villains. Like, we hit the ground running with Batman just like we did.
I'm sure we are.
I will put $50 down right now that, and I'm not counting any Matt Reeves Batman sequels, but the first James Gunn Batman movie is going to have a Robin.
Oh, I think it not only will have a Robin, I think we'll be on, like, when they announced Gods
like
and Monsters,
Robin.
I think we'll be on, like, Damien.
Yeah.
You know, when they announced it was going to be Damien. Now, I think some of those plans have probably changed. Mm. I do think that's the movie James Gunn is writing right now, though. I don't think he's going to direct it, but I think that's the one he's writing right now.
I hope he keeps directing Superman. I just loved this.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the next question, I guess, is what do you if James Gunn, what character would you like to see James Gunn do next, or do you just want him to make a Superman sequel?
I mean, going into this, I would have said Authority, but, man, there's plenty of guys who can do cynical. Mm-hmm. I want this guy doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if at this point I trust anybody else with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of. I just want more Superman movies. I just want more things just like this.
Yeah, I want every 2 years to be there to be one of these things. I mean, I want there to be a Batman movie that I want. Like, that's the thing that I have hope for now is, like, you've made the Superman movie that I want. Well, please make the Batman movie that I want. Like, I want. We've said it multiple times, right? Like, it seemed like Superman the Animated Series, obviously the comic books, even Smallville are big inspirations for the story they told in this movie. Make the Batman the Animated Series.
I take that back. There's one specific thing I want James Gunn to direct, now that I know that he is also deep in the weeds on the DC Animated Universe.
Right.
I want him...
Young Justice.
No. I want him to direct a Booster Gold movie that's just the episode where Booster Gold is, like, doing all these, like, other saving things while the Justice League proper is fighting some super, super villain and, like, gets no credit at the end, of it for it. It's a great episode. I think that'd be really fun.
Booster Gold's in the Justice League International. He's one of the B-listers in there.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it is merely a matter of 5 years. Or less, when Booster Gold is going to be.
Right.
Yeah.
That character is born to be written by James.
It seems like it.
Yeah. Superman, better than
Transformers. Better than
Transformers. So much better than
We talked about it for a really,
really long time.
I really hope everyone goes and sees it and enjoys it.
Yep.
All right, fellas, what have you been watching? Last however long.
Let's see here. I realized that I talked about watching Nosferatu on a plane, but I never actually talked
about Nosferatu at all.
That movie's pretty good. I mean, I don't think it's, like, great. You gotta kind of be into Robert Eggers shit. And I don't always know that I am.
Right.
I've watched all of his movies. I really like The Witch. Not a big Lighthouse guy. You know, like, and this is more Witch than it is Lighthouse.
Right. I still haven't seen The Lighthouse, and I know I need to just to I wonder for you if that fits into a category of media that I have a special connection with, which is things that I don't know that I like, but I think about all the time.
Yeah, no, it's in there. It's definitely in there. I won't spoil it for you, but there's shit that you just will never leave. you know, this movie, one, is shot beautifully. Have you watched it?
I haven't watched it yet.
There, I don't know how they did it. It's not in black and white, but it is almost feels like the whole movie's in the moonlight.
I thought it was in black and white, so yeah. That's fair.
It's shot really, really well. But, you know, the whole concept of making a Nosferatu movie is in itself weird to me.
Right.
If people don't know the story of Nosferatu, is they made a movie in the 20s and the 30s.
Yeah, very early on in making movies.
Where they did not have the rights to make Dracula. So they made the exact same story. They just didn't call it a vampire or call it Dracula. They give him a different name. Count Orcon or something, whatever. He's a count.
Orlok.
Count Orlok. He's a count in Romania who wants to buy land elsewhere, and he gets an Englishman. It's the same thing. And they got in a lot of trouble. So you couldn't watch it for a long time because it got like erased from history. So to make that again, it's hard not to be like, I've seen a lot of Dracula movies since then. We've made it a lot. But, you know, it's fine. There's this weird thing, too, where I believe it takes place in Germany, but like, Aaron Taylor Johnson and Nicholas Holt are the most British. Like, more British than I've ever seen either of them. But, you know, that Skarsgård guy loves playing a creepy dude.
Yeah. I will say, I think everybody on Earth, in the same thing, before they know how to add things, knows what a vampire is.
Yes.
Right.
But I don't think a lot of people are familiar with, like, the actual story of, like, the novel Dracula.
Right,
yeah.
And so, in that way, it might not be as played out as just, like, a general vampire story.
It's very faithful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if besides the name changes and location changes, like, it is beat for beat.
Right.
Dracula. It's better than Transformers. Yeah. I mean, you should watch it. Again, if you haven't watched Robert Eggers' other stuff and you're like, man, this is a really talked about director, I'd like to try some of his stuff, do this one first. I don't think it's as scary as The Witch, because The Witch has some pretty fucking weird parts in it. Mm. And it's not nearly as weird as The Lighthouse.
Right.
So I think it's a good entry point. Also, since the last time we recorded, I've watched not one, but two documentaries on the Titan submersible implosion. both Max and Netflix put one out, and they're different. And surprisingly, I think the Max one is better. Just because I care more about, like, the science of the thing, like, how did it happen and stuff like that.
Right.
And that's the focus of this one. The Netflix one is all about Stockton Rush just being, like, wildly insane. just total disregard for human life. But, you know, if you're like me and you're kind of somewhat interested to find out how those five billionaires turned into goo, they're worth a watch. Do the Max one. It's better.
All right.
That's it.
Also, I should say on the Nosferatu thing, if you've never watched it, Willem Dafoe has made a different movie about that movie. He made a movie about the making of
Nosferatu. Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
It's pretty damn fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last time we were together, Christian Jones, you talked a couple times about having the same opinions as the worst people on Earth about a couple of things, which I have a feeling that episode will probably come out after this one. So I'm actually referencing the future. Time is a flat circle.
It's already out, baby.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no shit. Okay, then never mind. Boy, am I going to be doing a lot of that this week.
Okay.
I watched Captain America 4. Nobody gave a fuck about this movie. Nobody in this movie. It's just, it's a fucking chore to watch because you can tell no one in it cares about it. Except for Tim Blake Nelson and Carl Lumbly, who are great because they care about this movie. But, you know, we just watched this movie with like pocket universes and portals and shit like that. And because the people making it cared about it, when they said that shit, it made sense.
Yeah.
If you don't care about that shit, it's just fucking word salad. And particularly when Harrison Ford is on screen, he seems like someone who doesn't speak English and is just saying his lines phonically.
Sure. Yeah.
Like he has no clue what he's saying. He has no ability to convey it. And particularly after seeing Superman, just let's just don't make these movies if we don't fucking care about them.
Yeah, yeah.
If nobody in it wants to make them, if the director doesn't want to make it, just don't fucking do it. Because you're wasting your time, you're wasting our time, you're wasting everybody's time. As far as the question that the worst people on the internet have about it, should Anthony Mackie be Cap? Here's the thing. He needs to decide what he's going to do with it. Like, he needs to decide either is he staying with being sort of the smart ass, the sort of wisecracking sidekick, or if he's going to be more stoic. He's not very good at being stoic. When he tries to, it comes off sort of Adam Westy.
Mm.
I think I've said on this podcast before, they shouldn't have followed the comics. He shouldn't have been promoted to being Captain America. He should have been promoted to being Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
He's perfect for Iron Man. Then you promote Bucky to Cap, and you still got that dynamic of those two guys.
That would have been a good call.
Which is one of the best things in the MCU. If that was what the next Avengers movie was going to be, God, would I be excited.
Would be fun.
I also think when you make these movies and don't give a shit about them, it hurts other movies. You know, I haven't seen it, but by all accounts, Thunderbolts was great. But I think nobody saw it because they saw this movie that nobody gives a shit about. Worse than Transformers on this. But that said, this movie is just not good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go as far as to call it bad. I'll save that for the next thing.
Before we get on to the next thing, I always, this is just one of the sad realities of life, that all of our heroes and things will get older and right. die at some point. For a long time, you know, I don't know how long of a gap it was for Harrison Ford, but, you know, between like early 2000s, for a long time, right. he didn't do anything where he gave a fuck, you know, right. and he seemed right. just high and spaced out in same kind of thing, just like
right.
phonetically delivering his lines for a long time. And then he was in Blade Runner 2049, and he was pretty fucking good.
Right.
And I'm like, have we seen the last good Harrison Ford performance? No. I hope not, but I'm like, does he still got it? I don't know. I never know.
I don't think he's bad as Thunderbolt Ross. I think he's actually think he does try in that movie. I think he's way better than everybody else. Carl Lumley, he gives it a go too, but I'd say everyone over 70 in that movie is better than everyone under 70.
Right, I agree with that. I also said, I forgot to mention this part, if you're going to keep Cap as the smartass, then his sidekick needs to be a straight man. It doesn't need to be another smartass.
Right. Well, that's how it worked in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, right?
Right.
Like, you had Bucky being there, being stoic.
Right.
Yeah.
So the last time we talked, I talked about how, you know, which you guys pointed out, I do a lot. I had rewatched True Detective season 1 and I heard good things about season 4. I'd heard it being a spiritual successor to the first one, and I thought, you know what? I'll give it a go.
This is the Jodie Foster.
It turns out people will think that a spiritual successor just means they reference the first season.
100%. My God, this shit was worse than Transformers. And you know what? This is not the fault of people in it that don't care. The people in it didn't care about it. The people in it do care about it. They just weren't given anything.
Mm.
Like, Jodie Foster, and I can't think of the other girl's name now, but they both are good. They're good at their part. The problem is, unlike Hart and Cole, there's not really a dynamic between them. There's not one side to the other side of the coin. They're both the same thing. They're a burnout alpha male cop that is supposed to be edgy and new because it's a girl playing that mm-hmm. part. And that's not. I've already read Greg Rucka. I know what that's like. I'm fucking bored by it. Here's the thing. If you're planning on watching this, I'm about to spoil this. Are you guys planning on watching
this? I don't give a shit about it.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Carcosa turns babyface in this. Do you guys remember what Carcosa is from the first one? It's the weird cult that all the rich guys are allegedly sex trafficking people in.
Yeah.
And the Yellow King sex torture and kills people in this. In this one, there's these scientists who kill a lady. And then the scientists all get killed. We don't know that the scientists killed the lady till the end. The mystery is this. The scientist gets killed and it's tied to this lady who gets killed. Well, it turns out that they had killed this lady, and this group of cleaning ladies who worshipped Carcosa kill the fucking scientist. That's right. This is science versus faith. And we didn't need that again. We covered that in the Audis. We have roughly 250 hours of fucking Battlestar Galactica and Lost that covered that shit. Battlestar Galactica came down firmly on the side of faith. Lost was ambiguous. It was kind of faithy, but also maybe it was just faithy in a science thing. If this one maybe would have came out on the side of science, I could live with it. But it what? It says nothing to. And I feel the worst part is this is, you know, this is a female-led, female-made thing. And man, I don't know if coming down on the side of faith in 2025 is a great move for chicks. Can women have cuck energy? Because that's what this had. I kind of came out of this almost like, should women be allowed to vote? Like, can they hold property? Thank God I watched Superman to restore my optimism. But this is shit. This is so much worse than Transformers. It's the worst season of True Detective. What about season two? Season two's better than you remember it. Granted, I'm in the pocket for season two because it's a stealth adaptation of a James Ellroy book.
I've never hated season two. It's just different. It's just wildly different.
It's not good.
The only part... I think what makes it bad is the ending is too neat for a noir story. The ending ties up everything too well. But this one does the same thing and works.
Yeah.
But I would say the scene where Colin Farrell's character beats up the bully's dad and then threatens to come back and buttfuck him better than every second.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Colin Farrell is one of the best parts of the whole series. Yeah, really.
I just want to backtrack just a minute. People should watch Thunderbolts. I did see that movie, and it is very good.
As soon as it's available on streaming,
I'm not going to pay a fucking dollar for it.
I was going to watch it on the Friday it got pulled from theaters.
It is a little bit of a bum. You know, like it is more of a bummer than Superman is, for sure. But it's very good. That's it. Sorry, I didn't know if you were...
No, I'm done.
Is that it? I'm sorry you've been watching so many bad things lately.
Well, I've also been rewatching Deadwood, which I think might be the best TV show ever.
Fair enough.
It's definitely the best Jehu show ever.
Fair enough. You mentioned it actually a little earlier. We did bury the lead a little bit on James Gunn taking over the DC Studios, because the actual first thing that he made was an animated series on HBO Max called Creature Commandos. And guys, we slept on that shit.
You like it?
It's fucking good.
Yeah.
Did either of you watch any of it?
I watched like the first 30 seconds and found myself not caring at all.
I had forgotten about it until I saw that guy who plays General Flagg's dad in the Superman movie.
Yes.
Like, oh shit, I need to go back and watch that.
Talk about people being typecast. That dude just putting superheroes in handcuffs, man.
What are you gonna do? I mean, look, it is James Gunn's whole shtick, you know, it's not particularly new ground in the sense that it's a bunch of fucking misfits who maybe don't want to be superheroes that find family in each other and reason to do good things. And that's like, it's fucking Guardians, it's fucking whatever that other fucking movie he made was. It's the same shit. But I don't know if the characters are well written. They space it out where, well, you know, there's a general arc. The first and last episode are kind of about the big larger things. Then each episode focuses on one individual part of the Commandos. And it's short, it's sweet, and I think it's really good. I really enjoyed it, and I know I enjoyed it because I blew the fuck through it in like 2 days.
Mm.
James Gunn's Creature Commandos. I don't think anybody watched it, but it is better than Transformers, so I recommend it.
I think the second season comes out fairly soon. I think they wrote them like really close together, and animated together.
And the only other thing I watched is a thing that I was very skeptical on, which was the second sequel to 28 Days Later, 28 Years Later. Mm-hmm. It came out a couple weeks ago. So, you know, I would say historically, this podcast is very much in the pocket for fucking Alex Garland.
Mm-hmm.
The last, like, 4 years, I'm like, oh, are we?
You might be wrong.
I'm not sure. And, you know, so much of this movie, there's so much shit on the internet. Like, you know, we brought back the original people. We brought back... I can't think of the director's name.
You talking about Danny Boyle?
Danny Boyle. Danny Boyle, Alex Garland reunited, and you know there's like this whole thing about, you know, the whole thing shot on iPhones. I'm like, oh, this doesn't sound good. You know, this has all the elements of just like a train wreck for money. Yeah. It's actually pretty fucking good.
Right on.
You know, I don't know what it looks like to film on iPhones versus any other thing, but you know, if you've watched the original 28 Days Later anytime recently on a good TV, it looks like dog shit.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what resolution you watch it at. That's just how it was fucking filmed.
Yeah.
And
it was made on whatever phone we were using.
100%, exactly. And I mean, it very much contributes to kind of this, like, guerrilla
it works
cinematography effect. And I think they reaccomplished that the same way in 28 Years Later. I think Aaron Taylor Johnson is really good in it. I really like his character. I like the world they've generally set in. I mean, I don't know. It's not, again, it's not like brand new ground. You know, we did Fast Zombies in 2002, whenever it was, and we're doing some of the same tropey bullshit that we've done since then, but it's pretty well executed. My main complaint about it is the first half of the movie is a movie. The second half of the movie is setting up a series.
Right.
And I do fucking hate that. Please just make a movie that is a movie.
Right.
But, I mean, otherwise, and maybe it was because my expectations were really low coming into it. I would convince myself that it's like, this is going to be dog shit. But I thought it was pretty good. I was really delighted on how much better it was than I thought it was going to be. So, you know, if you like a zombie movie, if you like a Danny Boyle movie, you just want to relive it. It does, again, both in just like cinematography and score and just general vibe. It does kind of capture that like dark freneticness of the first one. So if you like that and you want to see it again, 28 Years Later, better than Transformers.
I'll just rewatch Sunshine.
Look, Sunshine's good too.
Yeah.
One of the things that I do think is a disservice, and I don't know what the fuck happened to this guy, but there's the same composer that did 28 Days Later and Sunshine, which have, I mean, like, iconic stuff in them. Like, you don't know that you know them, but if you heard them, you know it. And it's a totally different guy doing the score, but they do, like, they clip one track from the first, from 28 Days Later at the end of this movie. It's like, oh, fuck, this movie could have been better if we did that the whole time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still better than Transformers.
Cool beans. We've talked a lot.
All right, well, next time, who knows, maybe Kraven.
I mean, I've already watched half of Kraven, so that means I should probably want to do Kraven because I'm halfway done.
But
after watching that half, I don't need to watch the other half.
We can do whatever the hell we want.
I mean, Fantastic Four will be out.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever is either hottest or least hot, we will do next time.
I like that scale.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks to everybody for listening. Please rate, subscribe, tell your friends about the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us at realphonies@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at realphonies, and on Instagram at real_phonies. Thanks to Zach Evans for art and Brian Velasquez for our theme. We'll see you guys later.
Later.